Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. Joining us on the show this week is assistant coach to Japan Louise Dalglish and Matt and Xander Fagerson. Well, delighted to be joined on the podcast by assistant coach for Japan women, Louise Dalglish. Louise, welcome on to the podcast. And I think last time I saw you, you were in a very different role at BT Murrayfield. And also I think you were helping out with commentary for Scotland versus Japan. And now you're on the other side, you're on the coaching side. Welcome to the podcast. We'll start off with, you're not in Japan just now, so where are you?
Currently in Cardiff, so in the Mercure Hotel, just in City Centre Cardiff, as we start prepping for our first match of the tour against Wales on Sunday.
Brilliant. And just remind us also, how long have you been involved in this role with Japan? It's a relatively new role for you, and what kind of enticed you about this big move for you?
So I've been came across to Japan start of August, so finished up with Scottish Rugby at the end of June, and July was a bit of a kind of transition month, just getting things organised over in Scotland and getting prepped for coming over. So flew over start of August and have kind of 2 weeks of quarantine, and then got cracked on straight into a training camp from there. But yeah, I think what enticed me, an opportunity to be a full-time coach. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons, like, I left teaching a few years ago now with a view of going into rugby full time, and just to see what kind of opportunities would come up and what I could gain, what I could do. And the fact that it's a full-time role, assistant coach, so maybe doesn't have the same pressure as the head coach role. Like, sometimes the full-time roles are only head coach roles. So for me, brilliant opportunity to learn and make a step up in that level.
That's what I was going to ask. Just exactly, like, was it the plan, or was it a goal or an aim to be involved? And, you know, quite rightly already said it was. So, and it happens to be in Japan. But what are the kind of the obvious challenges of coaching in Japan? I think that the player numbers are pretty good, isn't it? And, you know, the skill level, but there'll be a communication difficulties as well that you'll have a lot of support with. But what are the other challenges that you found stepping into full-time coaching?
I think the level of complexity at this stage for them, like, in working within an international squad, part of me is like, there's so many things going through my head, mm-hmm. so many things that I want to think about. And I suppose anybody that knows me will probably know this anyway, but actually just keeping that down to simple messages to get the real kind of development in certain areas. So taking in all that complexity and all that detail, but actually keeping it really simple for the players. It's probably something that I found very challenging and that mm-hmm. I'm still working on getting better at. So, and the language part of that probably adds that other dimension.
Do you have there'll be an interpreter there, I assume? Or do a lot of the players speak English?
Some of the players have got a bit of English, some more than others. We've obviously got three girls that are playing across in the Allianz Prem at the moment, but mm-hmm. mainly a lot of coaching and conversations are all done with translation support, so whether that's another member of the management team or somebody mm-hmm. working with us. So even more reason for me to be clear and to the point, which again I am not always doing that.
But that's the two marry up, don't they? And I've heard a lot of coaches and a lot of teachers say this before, right? There's this general want to help, to provide, to inspire, to improve players individually through skills or decision making, as well as collective through game plans and things you want to fix. But the difficulty is, or the challenge, as you quite rightly say, is actually sorting out the hierarchy of what needs fixed first, what's going to give us the biggest gains. And I suppose in many ways, identifying that and then less is more, really, as you say, but with the translation as well. Does that desperation to want to improve everybody come just because you're teacher trained and you want to help them, or is it because you see real development and where the Japan women's team can go?
I think probably a bit of both. Like, I think I'm always looking at things and being like, oh, right, what can I add there? What can I add there? And there are times that I just need to step back, shut up, and let them kind of give them the opportunity to learn themselves.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely something that's ingrained in me, and maybe that is from the teaching background. But I suppose what is brilliant about this group is that there is a huge amount of willingness to learn. So in terms of what what they know already, the skill level is high, and what the amount of time that they want to put in to work to get things even better, I think is brilliant. And that probably just makes me even more like, I can tell you what I can help with, and I can pass that message on. So,
and that's mirrored for your time in Scottish rugby as well, and certainly the bit of support I provide in terms of kicking with the women's team. That's the message I would give about the Scottish team as well, isn't it? That sacrifice to improve, a desire to get better every single session. So it'd be quite similar from your experiences being here and over in Japan.
Yeah, and I think it is something that probably sets certain teams apart, in that willingness to put in the time to really improve in certain areas. And even some of the players and the changes that I've seen in a few months, and things that they're working on, or things that they're wanting to get better and support each other with is a real highlight for me.
How much access do you get to the players?
We generally see them, well, I'd say a week a month is the rough kind of basis at the moment. And because of the geography of Japan and where people travel from, it's essentially, that's why it's done as a maybe a 4-day, 5-day camp, 7-day camp, rather than multiple weekends, just from a logistics point of view.
And where's home in Japan, Louise?
I'm currently living in Kumagaya, which is the Saitama region, so it's prefecture. So it's just an hour-ish northwest Tokyo.
And is that where the training camps are? Do they come to you in effect, or do you then have to go around the clubs as well?
Training camps are spread right across the country. So we've had the first training camp that I was in, that I went into pretty much the day after I got out of my 14-day quarantine, was up in Kamaishi. So obviously a huge amount of history with rugby in the town, the city, and what the experiences that they've had through Rugby World Cup. The Uruguay result against Fiji in 2019, the kind of story after that. So not to mention, it's a beautiful setting. So just being up there for my first camp with the players was phenomenal. There were so many positives and such a nice welcome to Japan rugby for me.
And the game this weekend's Wales, and we'll look ahead to the game against Scotland, obviously at Damhill Stadium, a week on Sunday. But Wales this week, how's the preparations going for that? And I don't. Well, are you ready to hit the ground running? I suppose is the key question.
We'll find out on Sunday. it's been a long time since we've played. There's been a huge amount.
When was your last game? It wasn't the game against Scotland. You've played since then, have you?
November 2019.
Was that right? Wow. Yeah.
So, in terms of and that's in terms of the, like, obviously kind of inter-squad games, different things that we've been implementing, a huge amount of hard work going on in the training, in and around training, and what's been happening. But that's why this week's been really important, just to get us focused on what we want to achieve and thinking about ourselves rather than worrying too much about, worrying about the opposition. But, you know, Wales haven't played for a bit longer either. They've obviously had the kind of Six Nations games, but they'll be in a very different place. So I think, there's been first couple of days of this week just getting settled in, kind of obviously long flight, long kind of time travelling, trying to clear the legs, get players feeling good, and then, just kind of starting focusing more as we build up to match day at the weekend.
And it's a long time since you've played, as you just said. Is there quite a big turnover in players, or is it a lot of consistency? Because we've spoken a lot about that game at Scotland, and the style the Japanese team played, is very similar to how the men play, in that all-out, really fast-paced attack. Some of the midfield players that day were outstanding for Japan. So has there been a big turnover, or is it quite similar faces?
A fair chunk of the squad that were there, some players that are still involved and in terms of, and obviously other new players that have come in. So a bit of a mixture when it comes to the weekend.
And then it's Scotland.
Yeah.
As coaches, you'll not be allowed to look ahead to that, but I'm sure you'll have an eye on it, Louise.
Not at all. One game at a time, okay. One game at a time.
I'll guess that. It'll be great. You'll have a few familiar faces, but that'll be a good occasion as well for you personally, but for the team, because the game's between the two teams have been exciting, and Scotland have had a big development really since then, I think, in terms of the amount of rugby they've been able to play and obviously the recent World Cup qualifiers. So it's that'll be a game that'll be a lot of excitement around.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it was obviously great to see Scotland going well in the European qualifiers and getting that result against Ireland. So they'll be in a great place. They've had a lot of time together, a lot of time to kind of prepare for different things. But ultimately, you know, we'll have had a bit of a measure from Sunday from our game against Wales and then kind of tweak things, look at how we move forward to the Scotland match. But yeah, I think it'll be a good game. There's no question in terms of how the teams are going to want to play, what we're going to look for. Obviously, at the new Dam Health Stadium, fast track. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I guess from a personal point of view, Louise, you can catch up with some old friends and family as well. So I bet you have the work side of it, which will get done, and then afterwards a good chance for you to catch up with some friends and family.
Not sure how many of them I'm allowed to speak to or how close I'm allowed to get to them with the old bubble and COVID protocols. But yeah, I'll be waving at them over the fence and giving them
a virtual high five, a virtual hug.
They have said this year before we recorded the why, they've all been warned that they'll have to be Japan supporters for the duration of the match.
Okay, there might be a market for these half and half strips, you often see.
I was just thinking that as soon as you said that. I thought that half and half.
No chance.
I'll leave that to you guys, and you can. I'll do the kind of PR and marketing for it. I've got a captive audience that I can send in your direction.
But absolutely, let's take that further. Let's take that further and see where we go with it. But now it's going to be a great occasion for you. And you know, we met that game against Japan at Scotland. It was a great game. It was a victory for Japan as well. So Scotland will be wanting to come back and avenge that defeat. But just going back to the country itself, Louise, because you know, Mossy and I are lucky enough that we've been to Japan before, we've been to World Cups and things like that, and you could really see the whole nation getting behind the men's team and the whole desire to see them do well. Has that really kicked on and translated into the women's game as well? Have you seen a real uptake, do you think, since the World Cup in Japan? Has that left a legacy that's allowing the women's game to flourish?
To be honest, I probably don't know enough about where they were to give a real kind of accurate answer on that. I think there is development in the women's game. Has it cracked on at the same level as the men's? No, I don't think it has, because in terms of when you look at the new League One or what was kind of top league, the investment and what goes into that is quite significant. So that's not something that's, you know, that's replicated in the women's game at the moment. The interest in the game and willingness to develop, I think, is there. So it's just what has to happen next and how that can continue to grow.
Yeah, and we've seen good progress being made, World Rugby, with great initiatives to grow the game. And, you know, the women's game in particular is hugely popular. It's one of the fastest growing sports in the world. And if anything, if you know, knowing Japan like we do, like they'll embrace that and they'll get behind their country, whether they're at home or away. So I'm sure you'll have a lot of support for these next few games over in the UK. But no, it's been brilliant to get you on, Louise, and chat about the upcoming fixtures. We're all delighted to see your progress from Scottish Rugby and from teaching to where you are now. And I was going to say we wish you all the best for the match next Sunday, but we'll leave it at that, shall we? And
all the best this weekend to start with.
All the best this weekend against Wales. Get into them.
We'll get into them first, and then we can chat about you guys later.
And then we can chat about us, yeah. As you said, but no, best of
you guys. You guys.
You guys.
You're Japanese already.
Yeah, what our listeners can't see is she's fully branded up in Japan colours now. So yeah, she's gone. But no, Louise, best of luck this weekend.
Half and half strip with me if there's any spares from your marketing.
Anyway, thank you for your time, Louise, and best of luck against Wales, and best luck for the rest of the trip. And nice to have you back over in the UK.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Jamie. Nice.
Good to see you, Louise. All the best. Take care.
Bye. All the best. Well, joining us on the podcast now after a training session with Scotland ahead of the big match with Australia on Sunday at BT Murrayfield is Glasgow Warriors and Scotland star Matt Ferguson. Matty, how are you, mate?
I'm great, thank you, guys. Very good.
How has it been this week then with preparation? I know it's a bit of a weird week because it's a Sunday game and you had a Saturday game before. So what today? What kind of session did you have today? Was that a big defensive set, was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we had a big defence session. Yeah, just sort of looking at little areas where we think Australia will come at us. Sort of just ticking off a bit of detail around those areas. It was a really good session and I had a great buy-in from all the boys. So we really put in a lot of work. So it was good.
How did the body pull up after last week, Matty?
Good, yeah. Tonga were quite physical in areas. I think, to be honest, all I did was take restarts most of the game. So, so yeah, no, I mean, I didn't hit too many collisions. So I'm all right at the minute.
No, it was amazing. We were touching it earlier on, just before we looked too deep to Australia. But it was great to get off to a winning start. It was great to score so many tries. But for me, what was also really good was you actually had to win the game twice over, if that makes sense, in terms of the execution and accuracy in the first half was brilliant. And then I thought Tonga's defence caused some problems in the second half and almost had to change the game. Decision makers changed the game a little bit in order to get back on top for the end of that second half. So it's ideal preparation going into against Australia that are firing all cylinders. They've won the last five. They've got two wins against world champions in the last three or four games, two wins against Argentina. So was there enough learned last week against Tonga that will help lay the foundations for Sunday?
Yeah, I think it was massive. I think Tonga really stressed us in a couple of areas, and it was great to take the learnings from that and work on them this week and also reflect on them a bit as well. We know where Australia are going to be tough and where they're going to come at, and I think having the Tonga week to sort of prepare and sort of let some boys gel who haven't been together for a while was a real bonus. Was really good for the squad.
The back row is a big combative area for Australia. Always is. Obviously, Michael Hooper's over 100 caps. He's into absolutely everything, and big ball cars around about him. What do you expect in that kind of head-to-head battle of the back rows? It's going to be a crucial area, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're pretty good over ball. Mm-hmm. Across the back row, and Rob Valentini, he's played a lot for them.
He's a powerful runner, eh?
Yeah, in the last couple of months, he's a really strong guy, and someone that Dave, I think, looks to get them some go forward. So I think he'll be pretty crucial off the set piece and stuff. So yeah, it'll be a great head to head. I'm really looking forward to it. And as you said, we all know what Michael Hooper brings, and massive threat over ball and just an absolute workhorse. So yeah, keeping them under wraps is going to be tough, but yeah, looking forward to it.
You've got a lot of good, I suppose, nous anyway, around international rugby, but knowing Dave Rennie as well as you do, and knowing Matt Taylor as well as you do, is it a situation where you almost know what to expect, but you also know the brutality that Dave likes to play with, and that insistence on attack, that insistence on quick ball, that insistence of clearing the breakdown as hard as possible? Do you think that gives you a good insight as to what to expect at the weekend?
Yeah, I think like in teams that Dave coaches, from experience, he's massively there's been times we've ran and scored from our own 5 meter line. He's a very tactical coach. He does a lot of analysis. So we could probably expect a few trick plays coming. It doesn't have to be in the finish zone. Some trick plays probably coming from the exits as well. It'll be really exciting to play against that sort of brand of rugby.
Yeah, true, because that's laid the foundation for their success. He does. He likes to attack from everywhere. We know that, having watched Glasgow Warriors, and you obviously played under it. But in the last, I say they're unbeaten in five. They've only been beaten by the All Blacks this year. They've beaten everyone else. And it's been built on that abrasive, fast, real attack-minded rugby. One or two changes to the squad this weekend, but we won't look too much at Australia. I suppose look more at Scotland and ourselves. And we'll look as a benchmark for that attacking accuracy to be similar to what it was against Tonga in the first half, because that gave a real foothold in the game, didn't it?
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, I think the attacking threats that we have around the park, especially on the wings and the back three, are massive. And I think you'll be able to use and exploit them and get them on the ball pretty early. It'll be a pretty crucial part to the outcome of the game.
So, Matty, you've got a busy week. As I said, it's a Sunday game. You probably have a day off coming up. What's the plans for the day off? Is it just all about recovery, or just you're still going to be doing some work-ons? What's a typical Matt Fagerson day off then?
Yeah, I think I'm going to head home to see the missus and the dog. Just spend some time with them. It's nice getting away and just sort of putting your feet up at home and being in your own skin. I think I'll probably go out for a coffee or something tomorrow and just relax, try and get in the pool a little bit, and then come back to the hotel later on tonight and catch up on a few clips and stuff. Just a nice relaxing day, really. Let the body rest and get prepared for the next couple of days.
Well, I can see actually your brother Xander's just joined us on the podcast as well. So Xander, if you can hear me, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, no, enjoying being camp and excited for the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a big game this Sunday. We were just chatting to Matty there about what to expect from this Australia side. And, you know, obviously, we talked about a little bit there, Mossy and Matt, about, you know, there's a familiarity around this squad. You know, we played Australia a lot of times, you know, since 2015. Mm-hmm. We played them 2016 and in 2018 as well, and also in the 2017 summer tour. So there's a lot of familiarity there. But also now with Dave Rennie and Matt Taylor involved in the coaching setup. Xander, from your side, you know, you've obviously got a good relationship with Dave and Matt. Does that make it easier for you as a player because you know and understand them, or does it make it even harder because they'll try and change things up, or how does it work for you?
Well, I've also got Pedro Stipusi, who was a scrum coach.
Of course, yeah, of yeah.
And it's exciting. Makes it a bit more personal. But as you said, you know, they know me and I know them. So I know what makes them tick and how they work. But on the flip side, they also know what my strengths and what my weaknesses are, having coached me for a couple of years. So yeah, it's gonna be a good challenge. I'd like to think I've changed my game a bit since they left, but it's gonna be a good challenge. It's gonna be great to see where we're at, because their team definitely, I think they won the last five. You know, they're in a good bit of form and they've got threats all over the park. So it's gonna be a really exciting game on Sunday.
Have you already started the mind games with Petrus then? Have you been texting him? Have you been winding him up? What's been happening on the social media with that?
Nah, I've left him to it. If he wants to text me, he can text me. But I got bigger fish to fry this week, so I'll see him after the game. I'll see him after the game and have a beer with him. But I'll let him do his own thing until then.
Love it. Sandy, you mentioned that your game has changed, and you're a great experience with the Lions in the summer. What was that like for you? I know you've chatted about it a little bit, but just for the podcast, you know, how much of an experience was that, and how much did you learn from that whole environment?
It was a great experience. I think sort of seeing all the nations come together, you know, and combining for that one goal was quite cool, and it's a really special thing in rugby and something that we need to make sure we keep a hold of. But the main thing that came out for it for me was it got me really excited about coming back to Glasgow and back to the Scotland camp and environments, because I think genuine, we have some world-class players. And I don't know, for me personally, maybe put maybe a few countries on a pedestal a little bit and thought they were doing something different. But at the end of the day, you know, I actually think we can go toe-to-toe with them. So it gave me a real excitement about coming back and getting stuck in. Back with Glasgow and Scotland, and hopefully achieving something, because I definitely think it's a Scottish thing, but we should have some belief in what we're all about, you know. And having eight boys on that tour was a pretty big part of that. So excited.
That's so true. It's something that so many players have experienced, myself included. When it's almost a grass is always greener scenario when you think of other nations and you see what you think they're capable of, and you hear bits and pieces, but actually having the opportunity to go face-to-face, to get to know people, you realise that not only Scotland has so much talent, so much work rate, so much going for it, that it can compete and be successful more often than not. And it's quite funny that we need that exposure to almost underline what we, you know, as Xander says, we should be more positive, we should be more confident. But I think it's just a trait, isn't it? We have to wait and see that actually we're as good as so-and-so, or we're better than them, or we can achieve more than that. And that, I think, it's really important to have a representation as big as it was in the summer in the Lions to spread that message across the team, because it's not a defeatist attitude from others in the squad. It's just actually, it's just a lack of knowledge, a lack of experience of what other teams and what other countries are doing. So I think you've got a big responsibility and an awesome responsibility to share that message, because it's so important. And with that belief and the depth of quality we have, there's no reason we can't be successful.
That's the big thing, I think, Wossie. You completely nailed it there, but it's that strength and depth as well that we've got coming through. You know, I think personally, this squad, you know, currently, I've never been involved in a squad with so much depth, you know. Guys coming in really putting their hands up, and it's exciting to see the young boys come through, and I think they all give themselves a really good showing against Tonga. So they're all going to have bright futures ahead of them. So it's just about getting them in the environment, getting to know the calls, and they're just going to grow and grow, and that confidence is going to be contagious and grow as well.
Yeah, that was important. Like, so many times, I suppose, with eight debutants last weekend, the message is quite often debutants come in and see how they get on, or hope they do okay. They all performed so well. And not only the four that started, the guys that came off the bench. I said to Matt earlier on that the decision makers that came off the bench at important times when the game was kind of ebbing, it was never ebbing away from Scotland, but it was certainly under more pressure than it was in the first half. And, you know, you've got these young players full of ambition and quality, but actually surrounded by experience, coached by good experience, making good decisions earlier in international careers. And it's right. I absolutely agree with what you're saying around the depth. And with that belief behind us, then it certainly does set us in good stead for the future. But the future is this Sunday, the next game, Australia, and the 5-game winning run. We've said some of the attacking stats are up there, probably the best in the world, pretty close to some of the All Black attacking stats. So it's going to be a real threat for our defence as well. And that's maybe a work on from last weekend. Some of the Tongans early on made a couple of line breaks or found a bit of joy, but there'll be a massive focus on stopping the Australian attack this weekend, I'd imagine as well, is there?
Yeah, I think, we spoke about the back row, and I think, you know, they've got players all over the park. I know they're missing, you know, Sam Akravi, Cooper and Corabetti and, you know, those sort of boys, but you know, we've spoken about guys like Tongan Thor, Tania Latupo and stuff, and Tolu Latu. You know, they've got quality all over the park, and I think if you give these guys, you know, the space to run, and the time on the ball, then I think they can be really dangerous. But you know, as we've spoken about, I think we take really big pride in our defence, and you know, as we've shown in the last couple of Six Nations, we're up there at the top with it, and you know, that's credit to the work that Steve and, you know, the defensive leaders and stuff have done. And it's just, as Xander said, it's a pretty special place to be in the camp, and I think we're all really prepared for what Australia are going to bring.
Oh, absolutely, and we're all buzzing for the match this Sunday. I'm excited for it, and I can't imagine what you guys are feeling like just to get out there again and face the top team that is Australia. But no, we'll let you go, guys. Thank you very much for jumping on the podcast and giving us that kind of preview of the match. So Xander Ferguson, Matt Ferguson, cheers, boys, and best luck for the weekend.
Thanks very much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, Jimmy.
Thanks, lads.
Have a good week. See you shortly.
Cheers. Mossy, great to hear from the Ferguson boys there, Matty and Xander, ahead of the game against Australia. You start reading out the stats about Australia, and you start thinking back, you know, to where we are with them. You know, I said we've played them a lot of times actually over the past couple of years. I think the past three games we played, two at home, one away. Scotland have won two, Australia have won one. But this is by no means going to be one team's going to win. This is going to be a tough encounter, isn't it?
A perfect encounter, really, I think, for for Scotland to see just where we are in terms of the wider global game. I mean, it was a successful Six Nations last year in terms of the victories, especially away from home. And then, you know, never had the opportunity to play Southern Hemisphere teams, obviously due to the pandemic for a year or so. Mm-hmm. And then, listen, Australia, we keep saying Australia are a different proposition to what they were the last time we played them. We know roughly what they're going to throw at us because of the, as we said before, the understanding that Dave's type of coaching and Matt Taylor's defence. But the players they have, they're proper threats, proper running threats. And there's a dynamic, almost, it sounds terrible, but like a brutal element to their attack in terms of the demand quick ball. They'll be super aggressive at clearing quick ball so they can get the big ball players and steppers into the game to play at this intensity, and it actually mirrors exactly what Scotland want to do. So on paper, it should be great. It'll be pretty difficult to defend for both sides if that quick ball is allowed. But the mentality and the mindset around attack and detail on attack is very similar across the both teams. This is a big game for Scotland. Absolutely. I think last week was an excellent start to the All Nations series. Super clinical in attack at times, especially early on in terms of the running lines, the passing, the timing of passing, the support play was excellent. And then, you know, it was almost, maybe sounds terrible, but almost back to front in some ways again. Like what you'd usually expect was a really tight physical first half where you had to almost wear down the opposition and then potentially get your rewards in the second half. It was almost the opposite last week, wasn't it? I mean, the quick attack and dynamic play in the first half created tries that were scored without, it's not poor defence, because I thought there was one or two of them, maybe the defence would be disappointed, but most of the tries in the first half were super efficient attack that was running at space. So it's very seldom now you see tries scored without a hand laid on them. But Scotland's accuracy around attack, they got that. And then the second half, the tries were more pick and go, driving maul, George Turner's try, you know, Ollie Kebble, actually through Nick Haining's try. There's more grunt about it. So traditionally you see that in the first half and then a bit wider in the second half. But the beauty of it, as I said before, was we've got both sides of that attack for Scotland, which sets a platform. But it's a big, big game this weekend, and there's a quality attack coming with some quality individuals.
Yeah, and we're all excited for it. And for whatever reason, there's always drama involved when we play Australia. You think back to 2015, we all know what happened there. Then I think a year later, they came and played us in the autumn and they won they got a penalty late in the game and won by 1 point. 2017, we went over to Australia and we won that game in Sydney. And then 2018, they had the red card for Australia. So there's always something eventful that happens against this team. But before all these things happen, you know, red cards or whatever it is, there's always fine margins between the two. So we're looking forward to a great encounter at BT Murrayfield. And you know what a lineup after that, Mossy, and which we'll talk about over the coming weeks. But after Australia, they've got South Africa, and then after that, they've got Japan. So it really is three great tests, and it'll be really, really good for Scotland to get off on the front foot on this weekend. But it's, as you said, it's not going to be an easy challenge. But you can definitely see that the boys are up for it.
No, definitely. It's good to have Martin and Xander to join us. Obviously, the big part to play last week, big part to play this week. And, you know, not just, it was great to hear Xander talk about the kind of confidence that he got from being involved in the Lions. And
real maturity as well now. Not that he was in, but he's demorphing into that leadership role, being part of that group.
You know, that message about that that belief that there's in the squad, and that he's experienced having been away with, you know, with the Lions in the summer, and he'll drive that, he'll set that. He hasn't played a lot of rugby since he came back, so he did really well last week and the previous week for Glasgow. Had another step up this week, and he'll embrace that. And Matt, I think, is just so vital to how Scotland want to attack. Like, his dynamic play, his attacking lines, and his physicality of short line outs. And this game, I think, is made for Matt as well, in terms of, he mentioned Valentino, the opposition number 8, and then, you know, Hooper and players of that ilk, he fits into that mold. So it is a proper head to head. I hope everybody doesn't just cancel each other out and you get a stalemate, because I do see similarities. But it's great for them to join us. And they both spoke about the depth of the squad. They both spoke about the mindset of the squad and the positive shape it's in. So, as I say, augurs well for this weekend.
I just want to ask you on that point that Xander made, and you referenced there about being around people and you know, maybe previously thinking that you weren't, not there was that defeatist attitude that you talked about, but understanding of where you are level-wise. Are you in the same level as these guys? When you moved to Gloucester, for example, from Edinburgh, did you maybe before you have a perception to think that Gloucester or that league was way above the Celtic League, whatever it was? And when you got there, you realised it wasn't. What was it like for you? Because you've done it.
I think it's just a... You can't speak for everybody, can you? But there's kind of national traits that are national traits for a reason. And I think, you know, in Scotland, we sometimes, and this isn't just rugby, this, and I say it doesn't, I'm not speaking for everybody at all, but I get the impression that quite often we think other nations are stronger, other nations can do more or have, you know, better players or more players. And actually, I suppose the key thing is when you get to know people, you go at different places in different squads, you realise that they face the same challenges as you. So it's maybe not about how good you are or how good somebody else is. It's maybe actually they have similar challenges, they have similar disappointments, they have similar doubts. And it just kind of levels the playing field. So it is the grass is always greener scenario at times, where you do think that, you know, you often only hear a lot of the good bits about other nations or other teams. But when you're in amongst it and you're part of it, you realise that everybody's the same, really. And then sometimes you realise, actually, you know, our work rate, our work ethic, our determination, our guts, our desire is better than others. Our skill level there, the depth we have, the ability of young players. And it's just, it's really important that message isn't just words, but is carried through an action. And to ensure that that's carried through by action, you have to experience it. And as I say, Xander experienced that in the summer, and it's great to hear him saying that he you know, found that and can pass it on to the squad over here.
Well, that's all from us this week on the official Scottish Rugby podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with more exclusive content.